Mazer streaks away, power flying.
Welcome back to another edition of the Para Podcast. This week I'm joined by Birdie.
Hey, how's it going?
And Ham.
G'day.
And 40 is out of commission, so it'll just be me, your host Hamish, as well, along with the two gentlemen.
Took off some of his groin and handed it over to Mitchell Moses.
And he always is putting the team first, whatever it is. And what an amount of groin. He had a fair amount to spare also, I'm told. and I've had to reschedule. I was meant to see June 2 at IMAX this evening, but rescheduled just so that we could do the review here. So let's jump into it straight away. Harold Matts, a win over the Central Coast Roosters, 28-21. So Matts still on fire there. Lisa Fiola Cup again on fire, 50-4 over the Roosters in that competition. I can't even read out the try scorers, there's too many of them. SG Ball unfortunately going down, and this competition is starting to get away with from SG Ball at this point. You can really only accommodate about two or three losses, and they've lost three by my count at this point, 20-16 against the Knights, and then another loss in the Tash Gales, the Indigenous Roosters Indigenous Academy, 26-10 over the Eels again. Probably starting to get away from them in that competition as well. We didn't have anybody out at Eric Tweedle Stadium on Saturday, the 9th of March, and that's why we're just doing the scores and we don't really have much of a review. Ham, were you out there for the Jersey Flag where we went down 6-30 against the Bulldogs?
I was not.
There you are. Well, that was the score. We don't have much more to jump to on that one. However, we did have an entertaining match in the New South Wales knock-on effect, New South Wales Cup rather. Unfortunately, going down 38-36, one conversion being the difference in this competition. If you're Sam Loizu, do you walk off the field, even though you lost, just giving yourself a pat on the back?
Definitely, five tries, like that's a club record, equaling a club record there. So, you know, regardless of what grade it's in, that's a fantastic result.
So try scorers there, Sam Loizu 5, Ethan Sanders and Lumi there. Unfortunately, the one thing that Nathan Kalis, I guess, is not known for is his defensive grit, and that was on showcase here in this New South Wales Cup game. Whilst great with the ball, you know, young spine, learning their way, some of the defensive efforts, especially on the edges, were just not up to standard.
No, not one bit, and I just think... you know, there's a couple of the more experienced players in this team. They let the young ones down. I thought the young ones were probably the best on the field. Matt Arthur was easily best on field. Sanders had a strong game. And Talangi, you know, he's still learning. He's still got a few things to learn at fullback there. But those two try assists, my goodness. They were... That first one, the round-the-back offload, that was premeditated. As soon as he went into contact, he knew what he was doing. And then the second one, it was a good line and anticipation from Loizu to run past the defender.
I don't want to bash the kid because it's not his fault, right? He's doing us a favour. Like he's pretty much said to coach, put me wherever. He's not a fullback. I don't care what you say, and you can see in just the defence, like he's very hesitant under the high ball. You know, like, and the poor kid's just doing his part, so I don't know how this is good for his development, playing in a position where long term he's not going to be a fullback for the club. So
you don't think, you know, so
I think he's going to be, I think he'll be a great centre. I think he could be like our Isaac Tango, like, and maybe that's just because I can't, like, under the high ball he scares me. He doesn't have that instinct as for fullbacks. I think he's a brilliant runner. Like, in attack, he's a great runner. But for defense, it's just like defense. I think for defense, he should be in the front line, if that makes sense. Because you can even see some of the tackles, he's too far in. And he's only 10 metres or 15 metres behind the line of defense, you know. So, you know, he might learn. But if he turns out to be a good centre, I don't mind that. But fullback, does he have the engine or the capacity to actually play a full game, you know? And what type of fullback is he? Like, you know, like a player comparison for him.
It is only his first season really playing in that position, so I'm willing to let him have a little bit of leeway, especially when he's played in a couple of different positions coming up through the ranks. So,
and I think we, like, sorry to interrupt there. I think we know he can, like, to me, he's a spine player. He's going to be a player in the spine, probably closer to the Dylan Brown mold. So if we can get him, he's not overtaking the number six anytime soon. I'm not sure if he has a long kicking game to overtake Moses when he retires. I think, you know, getting his hands on the ball, you know, do they do possessions for New South Wales Cup? They do. He received the ball 35 times compared to Sammy Luizu 18, Zaxini 10. Actually, he touched the ball more times at fullback than any other spine player but Matt Arthur. And I just, to me personally, it's his third game at fullback. I'm happy to see the errors. He might be hesitant, he might be whatever, but to me, like, he can be a long-term fullback. I think he's a spine player. I think he's got that level of skill and that level of fitness to be able to handle fullback. Him playing centre in reserve grade is not going to do anything for, you know. Look, I think we know he can play centre.
I'm not talking crap about him. I'm just thinking, what is the plan for him the next 2-3 years, right? 4 years. Is he going to be a centre? Because if he's going to be a centre and he spends the next year and a bit at fullback, we're kind of like sort of wasting his development a bit. Like I feel as though, because I'm a strong, firm believer, you now, for you to excel at your position, you need to know the ins and out of it. And you can't be in and out, like, position, like, 1 minute I'm a wing, 1 minute I'm a centre, you know, I'm a fullback. Like, it's that hesitation, and it's like, we didn't know what the long-term future is. If he's going to be the fullback, leave him there. But if he's only going to be there for a stopgap, solution for the next year or so because we've got crap depth, I'd rather give someone else a go at fullback, if that makes sense. I'm trying to think long-term future, his career, the next eight, nine years.
I mean, Guthrie's in 29. So 4 years down the track, he could be our first grade fullback.
I mean, it's like Gufferson, you know, he spent a bit at 5'8 for us, you know, like, he's come off as a wing. Like, I just want players to nail down their position, and yeah, that's, I don't know, I could be completely wrong. He could actually turn out to replace Gufferson in the future, but if he's just going to do this for the next year and a bit, and then, you know, 3-4 years time he's in the centre, and it's just like, well, what has he learnt the last past year? Because I think attack, offensively, he's great. It's just his defense, that's it. Like, under the high ball, like, his positioning, like, he gets too caught infield. Like, that's it. That's the only drawback I can find of him, that he needs to improve drastically. That's it. But he's only a kid.
He won't learn that playing center in reserve grade.
But if he's going to be a center going forward, like I'm talking about for the rest of his career.
I think if they're putting him at fullback in reserve grade at 19, I think that's what they're planning for him to become.
That's the long-term plan. And, like, look at some of the other players that came up through the grades who were, you know, fullbacks back in juniors / New South Wales Cup. And when they step up, they're playing wing / centre until that fullback spot really opens up. You know, he who must not be named. How long did he play on the wing? Yeah.
Two of us, Sheck.
Yep. Plenty of players that have gone.
Well, that's the thing, you know. They might have him for a year and a half in, or even for the year, learning how to play fullback. Pop him in the centres for 2 years in first grade, and then, you know, he's got the fullback experience plus the first grade experience, and then you can put him at fullback once Gutherson either moves on, retires, or we decide to move him on. I honestly believe Talangi will be our long-term fullback.
Really?
I truly believe that. He's got the talent, he's got the physical size. I don't think he's big enough to be a centre. I also don't want him touching the ball 12 times a game. I want him touching the ball 30 times a game. He won't do that at centre. He's only going to do that 1, 6, or 7. And
so, like, coming through the grades, six. Did he play much fullback? Like, was there a possibility? Like, I know he had some injuries, but, like, was he playing fullback?
This is his first year ever at fullback. He's played halves mainly. He's played six.
That's why we need a bit more data. So that's what Ham was saying. It's only his third game really playing fullback. So, you know, if you think he's got the skill set to play there and you're setting him up now, can he be your long-term fullback? You may as well give him a season in New South Wales Cup, see what he's made of. And you know, if it's not, there you are, you've got your data. You haven't really lost anything in New South Wales Cup. That's what it's there for, to develop players. That's my view anyway. Minds may differ. but yeah, perhaps we've been to the well of this coach before. Similar issues at that time, perhaps similar issues this year. Really need some work, especially on edge defence. It's just not good enough. Let's go to first grade then. An effort that was good enough. Eagles 26 to the Bulldogs 8. Try scorers Harper, Cartwright with a brace, and Simonson getting the sealer. Penalty goals, Gutherson 3 from 3 off the conversions, and Moses 1 from 1 off the conversions. That groin issue meant that Gutherson did the majority of the kicking. Just looking through some of those team stats, almost 60% possession. We had an extra 10 minutes time in possession. In round 1, completing at 89%. That's fantastic. Outgained the Bulldogs a massive amount of post-contact metres, 4 line breaks to 3, 28 tackle breaks to 23. Average set distance only a little bit more and average play the ball speed. We won that for once and won the game. Insane. Forcing 4 dropouts to 2. Effective tackle percentage right up at that 90% mark, so making 265, missing 23, and 4 ineffective. We had 4 errors to the Dogs 13, 7 penalties apiece. Bulldogs had 3 ruck infringements. Both teams with 1 player on the on report. Cartwright with nothing to answer to. On report for what, sir? Tackling too hard. I didn't see anything. Did the ref indicate that it was high contact?
Shoulder charge was the what come about it when I looked on NRL.com.
Yeah, that's just completely wrong. Like, you have to get somebody from the bunker to be accountable for that, because there's no way that was a shoulder charge.
Nah, not a chance.
Like, it actually hit with the front of his chest. Like, the impact point isn't the shoulder, it was the chest.
Yeah, I didn't understand that. I was just like, they're giving a relieving penalty. We've smashed them. That was second tackle?
Yep.
Oh,
it might have even been first. Oh, no, second tackle, you're right. Set.
Great defensive set. And then the bunker, the woke bunker, decides that... yeah, it's not right to hit tackle hard anymore. Bloody hell, back in my day.
Bertie, what did you like?
Oh, what do I like? Defensively, like, it's going to become a bit funny. I felt as though defensively we did all right. Like, physically, I think we're there. And you know, we should be. We're a much more fresher team out there because we did less tackling. What I didn't like, Look, I'm not going to say our attack was clunky, because it did look clunky, but go watch that game again, and I kid you not, the Bulldogs were rushing every single tackle. Not saying they were offside, but they did not give up. They had a clear plan to rush us. Every single tackle, they were up in our face by the time we got the ball, which explains why a few of our sets looked, or a few of our, you know, our scrum plays looked like what the hell was that, you know? Like, so, you know, I'm going to give them... I'm just going to put it down to the Dogs. The defense rushed us and, you know, we just second-guessed ourselves. Other than that, yeah, it was... I wish they fed more to young Will. Like, I feel as though he could have done a number on Crichton, even though Crichton's a very solid defensive option. But I feel as though we should have tired him out more, like, trying to take... Like, I know he didn't have much... He didn't touch the ball that often, but I feel as though we could have just targeted him. Yeah, other than that, like, we're very physical this game. Very, very physical, like our runs, especially our runs, you know. Like, Bryce Cartwright was out there on a mission. I was trying to think, is there someone on the opposition he hates? You know, is he an ex-Bulldog junior or something? Like, he was out there with a vengeance. So, other than that, I love the fact we had Brendan Hands on the field, on the bench. You know, sometimes you got to give Lustig a break, and it's good to have that as a backup option. And, yeah, other than that, it was a great performance. You know, we could get better, but I'll just put it down to weather. Moses injured a bit, so yeah, both our halves taken out, so yeah.
Yeah.
Well, these round one clashes, as we saw up until this game, it was all upsets. It's very easy to get an upset in round one. I remember a few years back the Tigers beating, I think it was the Roosters in round one. So I think a lot of teams go in too confident, they go in overconfident. I liked our 89% completion. Obviously, I think with you know, it was unfortunate that Will and Hopper, and I was about to say Hopewadi, not Hopewadi, that's a long time ago. Hopgood had those 2 concentration errors late in the game. if you know, 41 out of 46 completions, that's a really good completion rate for round one. And I think, you know, I don't think we put everything into our attack that we would have seen. Obviously, we had Moses with the groin, which effectively cut out a third of the attacking field. We saw early on he attacked the short side, got kick out, got Crichton to draw in, then had that pass to Will. And if Will looked on his outside, he had Sean Russell, you know, untouched. Unfortunately, went on
unmarked.
The inside and Guthrie got tackled, yeah.
The bloke in front of me was cheering because he had Penasini for his first try scorer, but he was on the wrong centre. He's like, he's just saved me first try scorer a bit there.
But yeah, I was just like, that was right in front of me. I was going, pass outside. He went inside to Gutho, unfortunately. But eventually, you know, 26-8, I think a few things to tighten up, which is always good. You know, I don't want to be perfect in round one, because if you are, you probably peaked too early. This game was just, it was total domination. It was total control. You know, I know there was some Eels fans saying, you know you're a Para fan when you're 20-8 up with 6 minutes to go and you're still nervous. I was never nervous during this game at all. Even when we weren't scoring, it was just like, oh, we're not. They're not going to get... They didn't have a look in at any point until those two drop balls. They never looked like scoring to me. We had this game wrapped up at halftime for mine. And so, yeah, I just hope that, you know, going in the future, that 89% probably be a little bit looser once we open up, expand, get used to back to playing together. I know that the team have played together for a few years now, but it's early round jitters. It's early round... where teams think they can do too much. They think they can replicate the year before. But it takes time to build into a season. I'd rather... And you know what? I'd rather 26-8 win than a 14-10 loss like last year.
Yeah, definitely. Well, just looking at some of those things that we sort of discussed going in there, Ham, I think you had the tip that you might see Junes come off the bench, and that was a hot tip that paid off. One thing that really stood out for me was that bench rotation, just looking at the minutes there, you know, obviously in the past we'd had Junes and Reg playing, you know, 60 minutes plus. Looking at their minutes on the official NRL.com, 48 minutes to Reg, 43 minutes to Junes. Then you had Bryce Cartwright moving from second row into that lock position when Hopgood was spilled, Hopgood having 51 minutes. And then Ryan Madison playing more of a prop role along with Joe Offengawi and Kel Mataulangi playing a fair portion on the edge. And then when he came off, Bryce Cartwright going back to that second row position. Joey Lussick, fantastic. I think I said he would be the breakout player, and that 40-20, he's the early shout. And then Dill
Brown.
That
was a massive kick, that 40.
It was a 20-20.
Yeah.
It was huge.
And that happened right in front of me. I was just like, oh, he's going for it here. Oh, this is actually going to get there.
It was huge. And then having a look at some of the backs there, you know, Gutho, those fourth tackle hit-ups out of our own end to get that extra 10, 15 metres at the end of a set was really fantastic. Despite his groin injury, you know, I think Moses kicked well long. Dill Brown, he had to step up and kick long. He must have steel rods in his shins. Taking out Kikau with that kick when Kikau, you know, blatant going for the ankles there on that supposed charge down.
Should that have been a penalty? Not a penalty, sorry, a sin bin.
I think if it had caused an injury or if Dill had stayed down, perhaps.
That's so dumb, man. Yeah. Because that's actually dangerous what he did.
Yeah, the other one I wasn't too worried about, the kick where he kicked, was it Kelmer in the ribs?
Just in the arm.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, I look at it from a football sense, and when they accidentally kick a player, they're going for a ball and they kick someone, it's a lot more than that. And I just think, you know, put those two together, he probably deserved you know, it wouldn't have made a difference. He only ran for 40 metres off six runs kick out. Like, he did nothing except for that one thing all game. But still, 10 metres in the bin would, I think, once you put those two together, I probably deserved a stint on the sideline there for this one.
Yeah, I wasn't too worried about whether or not he went to the bin. I thought... I did have a thought and then it just went straight out of my head. No, I was going to touch back on what you said, Ham, is that I thought we were in control for the majority of this match. Unfortunately, in the first half, we just kept giving them some relieving penalties out of their end. They were probably pretty soft, but, you know, adapt to whoever the man is in the middle and tighten things up. But then I thought in the second half, we really tightened up. But for that five-minute period where, you know, Pennacini had a look, dropped the ball, and then Hopgood, his fingers turned to dicks, and he just dropped one cold, and then Bulldogs two relatively easy tries on the edge. So perhaps against better opposition, you just can't be having those brain fades. But I think that's something I touched on in the game preview, is that something we need to get out of our game, but it seems to have shortened from 40 minutes of brain fades to 5 minutes of brain fades. So we're already on an upward trajectory compared to last year. So all in all, really, very positive performance. But having said that, it was just the Dogs, and they looked like pus.
Yeah, to be fair to the Dogs, they were a lot better than I thought they were going to be. Like, they come out firing and everything. I think that's probably the best. They played better on Saturday night than they did last year, but like it was still bad. They're still a bad team.
Yeah, I think it's just the lack of spine, or at least halves there. Like, you've got a centre who can put up some bombs. I think there was only one spiral bum that went up. And, you know, there's just no creativity really out of their halves, and, you know, even their fullback. I guess he's more of a running fullback than a ball player. And Reed, you know, he's the top tackler for the Bulldogs for a reason, because, I don't know, every single eel just saw him in the defensive line and ran directly at him.
11 missed tackles according to Champion data. 11.
Yeah.
Well, Parramatta fans still want him back. That's insane to me.
Well, I think the difference is you'd put him around a substantially better forward pack who could help out, whereas, you know, really the Bulldogs, Max King's probably their best prop there, and no offense to Max King, but, you know, he's not the greatest player of all time.
But even then, like, their smaller forward pack should be able to cover for him. Like, he still takes wrong decisions in attack. He still does his little skip up backwards from the ruck to create space and everything. if you're an Eels fan and still wanting him, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, well, maybe we might have some converts if Lussett continues to play like he did. I don't think he put a step out of joint. You know, and a couple of those crash balls close to the line, they went pretty quick. We saw some of that forward interplay that we saw in one of the trial matches there. June setting up that third try with just that hard... Or was it the second try that Lussett, that Cartwright went in after?
Second. It went up to be 12-0.
Yeah, setting it up with that hard running at the line, and I think that's what we're going to have to build on this year. And you know, we're similar to how we have played last year. We just need to keep the injuries down, keep up the consistency, and then lower those brain fades, because it was just that 5 minute period where we went away from what worked, and that's all it takes, even for a team like the Bulldogs to give them a sniff. But Cartwright. Yep, can't rap him enough. He just wanted to hurt people. The best was when Stephen Crichton came out, gave him a gobfall, and then next carry.
Right back.
That's how you do your talking. But I think he's just found a real good balance with his game. You know, his offloads, none of them were speculators that I saw. Most of them were going to hands. They're just, you know, it's sort of basketball-esque alley-oops and shit that he just does. Insane. But really getting that defensive resolve and grit seems to be the basis of his game these days, rather than, you know, the pretty stuff in attack. No real downsides other than the five-minute brain fade. Maybe, you know, Ryan Madison. No need to give away cheap penalties coming out of our own edge. Step up in class next week. All right, we'll wrap up that point. And then there's no real news. It's only, I guess, the Moses groin issue, which, of course, he's been named. They're saying it's not much of an issue. He was hobbling around a little bit, but, like, he continued to play on with it in the second half. So I don't know what to make with it. We'll have to, again, need some more data, need to see him in more action. Any other news? The Lomax, I guess, rumours. Eels asking for the Dragons if we can... tamper with him.
Would you do him? Or would you do him? I put two sentences together. I was going to say, would you do it or would you take him? And it came in as, would you do him? So, would you take him?
I'd definitely take him and, you know, slot him in at centre there. You know, I think that's... We spoke about it in the pre-season that outside backs depth issue... outside backs depth is an issue for us. Getting somebody in there like Lomax, who, you know, he showed on the weekend that he could even play wing if you need him to, but I think his best position is still centre. And, you know, no offence to Morgan Harper, he slotted in really well on the weekend, but I think Lomax is a step above that.
I think Lomax has the much higher ceiling, but I also think he has a bit of a lower floor than Harper, who's... I think he'd give you a 5 out of 10 in attack, probably a 6 out of 10 in defence. Maybe a 7 out of 10 in defence. It just depends, you know, which way we're going to look at it. Honestly, if we're looking at Lomax, his performance on the wing on the weekend, I wouldn't mind him lining up on the left wing there. Yeah. But if we're going to get him, it's going to be for centre, isn't it?
Yeah, I think definitely with the price tag he's on as well. Simonson probably didn't put a foot wrong on the weekend at wing there, which was a surprise. Oh, I guess in that one defensive effort but that wasn't really on him. That was more of a slide issue where it took too long for us to slide from the inside out. So I don't know if I'd blame particularly Simonson for that. It was sort of just a slow reaction on the edge.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt to ask, really. Like, we're not in we've got, you know, quality outside and we're picky. Like, if he's available for the right price, you know, he's an aerial threat. Like, we can, you know, can you measure those short kicks? So do we put him to the left side with Sivo? Because, you know, a left side of Lane and Lomax are kicking towards them, and, you know, you'll be bringing in the tries because they're both aerial threats. You know, he's got that offload. Sivo will probably want it because, you know, he can attract two players and, you know, freeze him up. But other than that, just... I don't mind it, but I'm conscious of paying too much money for a centre like him.
Yeah, $800,000 is a fair whack, isn't it?
Well, I mean, Herbie Farnworth got that deal from Dolphins, you know.
I mean, we must have it if we're looking to get him.
Yeah, well, I guess the Dragons have pushed back on it at the moment, and given that he's still under contract for the next 2 years after this one, isn't it?
Yeah. Does he fall under the criteria X factor?
Potential. Maybe even a potential fullback replacement in the long term. I think there was a shout about him potentially playing fullback at Dragons at one point, but obviously not at the moment. So,
I think that was more to try and keep him and how much money they're paying him.
Okay.
I reckon Ham's just waiting. He just wants his whole X factor to go to bed, so we could just sign anyone, so we can just move on straight away.
Yeah, I'm pretty much over the term X. It's like Las Vegas. I don't care about X factor. Leave it to Channel 7. I think that's X factor, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you look at your 1-6 and 7, you know, that's really the X factor of the team there.
Look at the 12, man. Cartwright killed it. Yeah. That's X factor. Penasini's X factor.
Oh, I can't wait till we sign him and then give it about 8 weeks and then we're going to be, let's move Guffo to centre and Lomax to fullback.
Fullback, yeah.
I can't wait for that. Can of worms.
All right, well, no other news. Obviously, as we touched on there, Dragons have said no tampering at the moment, but these things seem to fester. But then again, they did stamp down on Ben Hunt move to the Broncos last year, so I guess there's a potential that things won't move if they want to keep him. Let's move on to the preview. Lisa Fiola Cup, Eric Tweedle Stadium at 10:45 a.m. against the Central Coast Roosters. That's Saturday the 16th of March. Ham, do you know if TCT boys are going to be down there for any of this, given we play Friday night?
I couldn't tell you, sorry.
Too easy. All right, Tasha Gales, 12:30 p.m. against the Raiders, also at Eric Tweedle. And then Gosh's Paddock in Victoria, Storm against the Eels in the Harold Matthews Cup. So the boys are they getting on a flight there or a bus?
Might be driving down.
Where is Gosh's Paddock? It doesn't sound like a rugby league park. It sounds like a farm. also the SG Balls playing at the same venue, 2:30 p.m. on Saturday the 16th of March. I assume we're not making the trip down there for both of those games.
No, I won't be.
Then on to the flag, 3:15 p.m. Saturday, 16 March, out at St Mary's Leagues Club. We'll see the Panthers taking on the Eels there. Any names on there that stand out for you? There's a Joseph Nora there. Is that a relation to JP Nora in the Panthers?
No, I believe he's a Bulldogs junior from memory. Do Bulldogs or Tigers? I can't remember. I do see that Lockie Blackburn has returned to the Panthers after, if we're honest, probably a disappointing injury-riddled couple of years with Para.
Unfortunate, but those injuries do happen. Anything else to take out of that one or not?
It's hard to say. I haven't seen this Jersey Flegg team all year. I haven't been able to check out any trials. I haven't seen, I don't know, how their style of play. Obviously, that big forward pack would have much preferred a win, given the size and the relative strength and talent of that forward pack. So I'll probably be out of this one, out at St Mary's. So I'll hopefully have a report next week.
And then on to the New South Wales Knock-On Effect New South Wales Cup. Sorry, I keep saying New South Wales, New South Wales. This one will be the curtain raiser to first grade. It says it's on New South Wales Rugby League TV, but I understand it might also be broadcast on KO as well beforehand.
Oh, there you go. Well, I've got New South Wales Rugby League TV, so I'll be...
Maybe it's just New South Wales RL TV.
Yeah.
Looking at... So it's a substantially same roster as last week, except there is the inclusion of Widermu Greg comes back, and Tony Mattaelli, who we expect to play. That's shifted Manny Luke to the extended bench there.
Yeah, going with all forward bench.
I think it might have been a shout to, no offence to Dan Keir, but maybe Manny Luke in for him.
I mean, you could. I suppose Dan gives you, well, Manny Luke, you could probably play in the halves or hooker, whereas Dan Keir's played hooker, second row, middle, half, centre. Probably not excelling at any of those positions. No offence to Dan, but he'd probably say the same thing. But, you know, I think they lost their way a little bit when young Arthur went off last week. He was only off for... It ended up being 13 minutes. It was a lot longer than I thought it was. But as soon as he was put back out there, the team straightened back up. They look so much more dangerous. It's a tough one because he's only 19 and he is on the smaller side. But if he's ready to play 80 minutes in reserve grade, well, he's ready. You got to give it to him.
And then just looking on the Penrith team list there, Brad Schneider, is he a relation to Kyle Schneider, former Eel, or we don't know?
No, he was the Canberra halfback a few years back.
Yeah. Okay, well, we'll see how we go out there in that curtain race. Are you going to be out at Penrith on Friday night,
Ham? God, no.
No?
I don't need a rabies shot, thank you very much.
I would have been there. I've got a work commitment to go to, which is a bit unfortunate, but I'll try to get out of it by 8 o'clock so at least I can listen to the game on the radio. Then the highlight of the round, Penrith in 11th position, taking on the Eels in 3rd position, 8 p.m. Friday at Penrith Park, Bluebet Stadium there out of Penrith. Channel 9, 9 Now, Foxtel and KO. Let's go through the team list. Dill Edwards at fullback. On the wings, Taruva and To'o. In the centres, Tago and May. In the halves, Luai and Cleary. Then the forwards are Leota and James Fisher-Harris. Mitch Kenny at hooker. Scott Sorensen, Liam Martin. In the second row, Isaiah Yeo at lock. Sonny Luke, Lindsay Smith, Liam Henry and Luke Garner on the interchange bench. Extended bench is Dane Laurie, Matt Eisenhuth, Maverick Gaia, Paul Alamotti, and Brad Schneider. Then for the Eels, we have unchanged from last week, Clint Gutherson at fullback, Bailey Simonson, Sean Russell on the wings, Will Penasini, Morgan Harper in the centres, Dill Brown, Mitch Moses in the halves, RCG and Junior Paolo is named to start, Joey Lussick at hooker, Sean Lane, Bryce Cartwright in the second row, Jermaine Hopgood at lock. The bench is Brendan Hands, Ryan Madison, Joe Offahan-Gowie, Kelma Tuolungi, and the extended bench, Ogden. Widermu Greg returns to the extended bench with Luca Moretti, Makahesi Makatoa, and Blaze Tuolungi. Birdie, you reckon Junior will start, or you reckon he'll come off the bench?
He'll start. I reckon part of the reason he, you know, he probably started on, off the bench was the weather. But I feel as though we need to start fast because Penrith started slow last week. They're gonna want a revenge, or not revenge. They want to try fix their mistakes last week. So we got to start fast. We don't want to be on the back foot, especially away from home. We need to take the crowd out as soon as possible. Okay, if they score first, just keep up with them. Don't let them have a lead, don't let them just extend away. But yeah, I can see Junior starting. It'll be interesting actually going forward to see if Wedemu will play or get named, because if he does, who drops out? I'm confident just because Penrith are not the same what they were previously. They're not as, invincible or unstoppable. I feel as though we can match them, and we tend to give them a hard game. So yeah, I'm confident. It's just whether or not the referees, as always, Penrith never very rarely lose a penalty count, or especially at home. So if we get a fair crack at them, we'll beat them.
So I guess in the two corresponding fixtures last year, we beat them 32-18 in that final game with a lot of players out, should be said, and then 17-16 in that Golden Point match earlier in the season. Penrith coming back-to-back losses, one in the, what's that game called against the ESL team?
World Club Challenge.
The World Club Challenge, that one. And then losing to, who did they lose to last week? The Melbourne Storm down in Melbourne. And that was a pretty depleted Melbourne Storm line. But having a look through that team list of Penrith, they might say that they lose players every single year, but that's strikingly similar to last year, except for maybe the bench. And of course,
That 1-13 is probably, or 1-14 is probably the same that they had last year.
Except Taylor May in for Stephen Crichton, but outside of that, it's pretty similar.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be too much bleeding there. I guess one area I do think that we should be able to match them with is the bench there, especially if the bench holds up like it did last week, and we rotate as well as we did last week as well.
I think both teams might play a bit of ducks and drakes with this. I think Junior will start off the bench. I also think Moses Leota will start off the bench.
Did Moses Leota start off the bench last week?
I don't believe he did. I just think I think they'll look at their bench and I'll just go, we need that. I mean, look at our bench as it is. We've got two former Origin players on there, Ryan Madison and Joe Offahengawi. But that's... you compare benches, they're ones you probably have Sonny Luke over Hands, Garner tied with Tuolungi terms of maybe Garner a bit over, you reckon?
I was going to say a bit under. He's still got that West Tigers stink on him.
Yeah, fair enough. But in terms of middles off the bench, we've got them. Lindsay Smith and Liam Henry up against Ryan Madison, Joe Offahengawi. I think we've got them there. I think Joe will start and then Leota will come back to the bench for Penrith. So I just think it'll sort of... I'll try and even it out a little bit.
Yeah, I think the big thing will be Moses's groin health dictate how this one goes. Both sets of halves there. Very experienced, both international players as well. Both of... three of those four have played at Origin Level 2. So I think that may be the big difference there is the health of Mitchell Moses coming into this one.
Especially because in the past couple of... except for the last round last year, we rely on Moses' kick against Penrith so much because of their fast defensive line. We really rely on Moses' kicking game against Penrith.
Yeah, definitely. Especially at a home crowd there. They'll be reeling after the first two losses to the season, ready to come in and get a win here in front of their home crowd. So it's going to be a tough ask for mine. Not unwinnable, though, and we seem to have had the wood, at least in the regular season over the last couple of years, against Penrith. But it should be a cracking match, and we seem to always be up for it against Penrith in this recent iteration of their success. Birdie, first try scorer, eventual score.
First try scorer. I'm gonna go with Darcy Lussick. I feel as though
Darcy.
Sorry, did I say Darcy? Joey Lussick.
One of them.
Thank God I didn't say Freddie. I was gonna say. You know what I mean, Lussick. I feel as though yeah, kicked the 40-20 last week, he might one-up himself. Like, surely, like, you'd think he can... He should take it, not make it personal, but make a challenge out there to outperform Mitch Kenny. You know, like, they're very similar players. They're very, you know, built, you know, like, oddly shaped and very stocky. And, yeah, make it personal, you know. Try and outdo him, outperform him, you know. And I can see him scoring, you know, a little burrow or, you know, dummy, whatever. And, yeah, look, I'm going to tip a low-scoring contest. I'm going to tip 14-10, Paris away, and... yeah, it'll be very close, and I feel as though we'll lead the whole way, and Penrith will come home fast, but we'll just get the win.
Ham, what have we got you down for?
14-10, Para win.
Oh, I said Ham, not Birdie.
Oh, all good.
Sorry. First try scorer. I'm similar thinking to Birdie. I think it'll be more around the ruck. I think Penrith will try and rush us on the outside. So I'm going first try scorer in the left lane, Sean Lane. Obviously a Parramatta win. Again, very similar line to Birdie. I'm going 12-8 to Parramatta. Fuck, I hope we win. Sorry for part of my language there, but I fucking hope we can put Penrith 0-2 to start the year. And to be 2-0 to start 2024, especially compared to last year, at their home ground. I hate these pricks. I hate them. And I never used to. Do you remember you when you used to collect footy cards as a kid?
Yeah.
I never put them in order. I would put them in order of teams that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Or Parramatta and then teams I hated the least. Penrith are always number two. It's only because they started chanting, "We hate Para." They started all that shit. I hate them. And I hope that the 17 players that run out there on Friday night in that blue and gold hate them half as much as I do. Because if they hate them half as much as I do, that's still enough. That's still enough to win.
All right. The hate flows strong in this one. Let's go on to me. First try scorer, I'm going to go to the Penasini. Getting there. We had the opposite edge last week. Hopefully old mate's rolled over his first try scorer a bit from last week to this week. And eventual score, I think it's also going to be pretty close there. I'll tip the Eels 23, Penrith 22.
Ooh, another golden point. Before or after golden, like in golden point?
Before. 79th minute.
Good. Good. I don't think I can handle more than 80 minutes this game.
Alright there, well, I think that'll wrap that up there. We didn't get one from 40, unfortunately. Hopefully we'll have him back on next week.
I'm sure he would have said something like 54-0
Moses 6 tries to Moses or something like that.
Yeah,
you know what 40's like. He's very braggadocious. Yeah.
Alright, well, on that note, let's leave it there. I hope you all enjoy the footy this weekend. Go,
Paris.
Paris.